Angus Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since the Prime Minister has returned from Brussels, for the first time in 40 years, member states from the rest of the EU are still there, and they are discussing the future of Europe. And while the Prime Minister is not in Brussels, Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, is in Brussels. And she's gone there to protect Scotland's interests in Europe and preserve our place in Europe. She's met with the President of the European Commission and the President of the European Parliament. She's also meeting with one of the key European negotiators on Brexit, the former Prime Minister of Belgium, Guy Verhofstadt. The First Minister has also spoken to Taoiseach Enda Kenny and will be meeting the diplomats from other EU member states. Nicola Sturgeon is doing this with a mandate from the Scottish Parliament, including the Labour Party, the Liberal Democrats and the Scottish Green Party. An expert group has been established to advise on protecting our place in Europe, including eminent diplomats, economists and constitutional experts. These include a former British judge in the European Court of Justice, the former British ambassador to NATO, the former economic advisor to the European Commission, and the former permanent undersecretary at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office and head of the UK Diplomatic Service. All of us need to work to explore ways to protect Scotland's relationship with the European Union, our place in the single market, and the social, employment and economic benefits that come from that. May I ask the Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, whether the Prime Minister raised this at the Council of Ministers? Didn't he even raise Scotland at the Council of Ministers? Did he say that Scotland wants to stay in the European Union? Did he say that Gibraltar wants to stay in the European Union? Did he say that London wants to protect its important position in Europe? When are we going to get some leadership on this from the UK government? Or is he just going to stand by and watch England leave the European Union and England declare independence from the rest of the United Kingdom?
Prime Minister.
Well, first of all, yes, there is a meeting of the 27 other members of the European Union this morning, and that was always going to happen if we were going to make the decision to leave, because just as we must prepare our negotiating position, they will want to prepare theirs. But the good thing about last night's conversation is it got off on a very reasonable, fair and constructive basis. What I would say to the Right Honourable Gentleman, I'm glad that the First Minister of Scotland is having these meetings. It's always useful to meet and talk with our European counterparts. But at the end of the day, the best way we can secure the best possible access for Scotland into the single market is for the United Kingdom to negotiate as hard as it can as one. Now, to answer his very specific questions about whether I talked about Scotland last night, yes, I did. I talked about this Parliament. I talked about Scotland. I talked about... Because the way we actually managed last night's meetings, we took a bit of a cue from what happens in this House, is I set out what I thought the result of the election, the referendum was, and why. I set out what I believe Britain's and the United Kingdom's aims would be. I explained how different parts of the United Kingdom voted. And then all 27 other members spoke. Many asked questions, and at the end of the dinner, I answered all their questions, as I do in this House, Mr. Speaker, as fully as I could. So a little bit of British parliamentary practice was introduced into the European Council, and I think it's a good way of doing things.
Very good for the European Council as well. Without a shadow of a doubt. Dr. Liam Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And on that subject, did my right honourable friend reiterate to the EU Council that we do not have a federal structure in the United Kingdom? We did not vote in the referendum as England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland or even London, but as British citizens, each with an equal voice and equal weight, and that all future decisions must be taken by the United Kingdom government and no one else? And does he also accept that such was the importance of free movement of people in the referendum, that any future deal reached with our European partners that does include free movement would be regarded as a betrayal by millions of people who voted to leave?
I did emphasise that it's a UK decision, but also the United Kingdom will want to listen very carefully to all of the constituent nations and the views of their ministers and their parliaments in setting out the negotiation that we want to carry on. As for this issue of free movement of people, that will be for the next Prime Minister and government and Parliament to decide. But I'm in no doubt that, you know, this is the difficult issue. Frankly, it's a difficult issue inside the EU, where you've got all the negotiating ability to try and change things. And I think it will be in many ways even more difficult from outside, if you want full access to the single market, to secure change. But nevertheless, that's the challenge. I explained very clearly to them that that was my reading of the referendum result. It was this coming together of concern about free movement of people and migration combined with a sense of control and sovereignty over that, and that I was very sad at the result. I think the economic case for staying in was very strong, but if we want to make this relationship work, whether out or in, we have to listen to people and try and find a way through this.